Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? You know, I am really, really glad to be here today. I'm really glad you guys are here today. Before we get started, today is the first of the month, so if you have orphanage support for your sponsored child, please give that to me today. We are going to be sending that very, very, very soon, so please get that to me. The orphanage definitely needs it. They're experiencing some financial stuff, so they definitely need our sponsorship. So if you have your sponsor money, please get that to me today. If not, you can give that online as well. Guys, I'm excited, but I'm also apprehensive about what we're talking about today, because today's a very touchy subject. If you go ahead and turn to Matthew 18, verse 15, we're going to go ahead and start. And I want you guys to keep this in the back of the mind, that the forgiveness is always the goal, but most of us don't know what forgiveness really is. We don't know what it means. And there's a lot of very, very bad teaching about forgiveness that's out there that have really gotten us in trouble by thinking that we're supposed to do something when we're not, or think we're not supposed to do something when we actually are. And so I hope that today, this parable of Jesus that Jesus tells us about forgiveness will really shed some light on what we're supposed to do as people. So before we get into the parable, though, in verse 15, Jesus gives us a fascinating glimpse on how to handle stuff between people within the church. I don't see this followed very often. I really don't. And I wonder what it would look like if we actually acted like this. So we're just going to go ahead and dive right in. Matthew 18, verse 15 through 17. Jesus says this: if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Okay, so there are a couple steps in dealing with, this is within the family of God. This is not dealing with Christian and non-Christian, or this is within the family of God. If someone does something wrong, let's say that someone is known to be a notorious swindler, a dishonest businessman, somebody like that, and their business practices are known in the community, and they're sitting in church on Sunday morning claiming to be a Christian, this is what we do, okay? Number one, step one, talk directly to the person, face to face. Okay, I don't know what that looks like, because that's hardly ever done. Usually what happens is you talk to everybody but the person that is actually sinned. Okay, when you go, take the word of God with you. Show the person in the Bible what's going on, what's wrong. Okay, and you say, well, I can't find what they're doing wrong in the word of God. What does that tell you? Okay, maybe the problem is you. Well, anyway, go take the word of God. If he or she is a believer in Christ, they'll accept the authority of the word of God, okay? If they say, well, get out of here, how dare you judge me, get out of my face, all this kind of stuff, okay? Out of compassion, you move to step two. Take two or three trusted people to talk directly to the person. Take people that love them, that care for them, that are concerned about their eternity. Come and talk with them. Say, listen, we're so concerned about this. Your reputation in the community, you're doing things that are against the word of God, and we want to bring you back. We want you to honor God, and we're seeing something that maybe you're not seeing. Take two or three trusted people that aren't blabs, that really care about the person with you, and show that person what the Bible says. If they don't like that, step three, Jesus says, bring to the church, so they can talk directly to the person. Now, that doesn't mean that you tell me and I announce it on Sunday morning. No, that's not what Jesus wants, okay? The point is not to win. The point is to be reconciled. The point is so that this person can receive the forgiveness of God, okay? And so you take people that care about them, that are part of the church, that are getting it done in their walk with Christ, and you talk with them. And if they still don't want anything to do with it, then Jesus says, treat them like a pagan or tax collector. In other words, stop expecting Christian behavior. This person is not someone that accepts authority of the word of God, so stop expecting it. How did Jesus treat pagans and tax collectors? Very gently, very lovingly. He always wanted them to come into God's kingdom, okay? That's exactly the way you treat this person, okay? The only reason I say that is because this is not followed very often. Most of the time, when someone sins or does something wrong, it goes to social media, or it goes to all of our friends, or it goes to how awful this person is, but there's never any face-to-face interaction, and that is inappropriate for God's holy people. We are better than that. Okay, so when is there's any type of issue within the church or with someone in the church or something, go directly to them. Follow these steps. I would wonder what the church would look like if we actually did this instead of solving things the way the world does. Okay? Talk to the person, not to everyone else. All right. So forgiveness is always the goal, guys, not being right. Forgiveness is always the goal. Now, why is this important? Well, because sin does something that not many people realize. Sin does something that not many people realize. Most of us, if we were honest with ourselves, would think that sin is maybe breaking a law or doing something wrong. Isn't that true? Isn't that what most people understand sin to be? Well, sin, yes, that's true, but it's so much bigger than that. Sin cannot be understood outside of relationship. Sin is relational. Write that down, please, that sin is relational, and sin does more than it's more than just doing something wrong. Okay? If that's all it was, it'd be no big deal. Sin has to be dealt with because it does one huge thing to us. One huge thing. It creates a creditor-debtor relationship. Okay? Now, let me explain. I'll go back here to my table. Daniel, where are you? I need you up here real quick, okay? All right. Daniel's my volunteer here, okay? So come on up here. And I need you to stand right over here. Stand right over here, okay? All right, let's say that Daniel and I are friends. This table, it represents the relationship between us. It's good. We're friends. We're in harmony. We're in fellowship. We're cool. We're like this, okay? Well, all of a sudden, Daniel sees that I have this beanie baby. And it's his name is Spike. Now, Spike is precious to me. The reason is because my wife got me this when she was pregnant with our first child. We didn't know if our first child was a boy or a girl, and so we started calling it Spike. Okay, so I would refer to Spike. Okay, that was, and so Rachel got me Spike. Well, Daniel really likes Spike, and he says, Can I borrow that? And I, because we're friends and everything, I say, sure, here you go, you take Spike. All right. I said, but I need this back by Friday. And you say, no problem. Say, no problem. No problem. Okay. All right, so all of a sudden, Friday rolls around, and Daniel has misplaced Spike. He's misplaced it. He has not taken care of Spike. Friday rolls around. What do you think Daniel's going to do when he sees me? He's going to hide. He's going to avoid me. He's going to avert his gaze. He's going to pretend that I'm not there. He's going to hide. Why? Because there now exists a debt between us. Go pick up Spike if you don't mind. There now exists a debt between us, and it makes things weird. Daniel has sinned against me. He has lied to me, and he has taken something from me. And now this is on the table between us. And because this is on the table between us, our relationship is different. This is what sin does. It establishes a creditor-debtor relationship. And if you don't believe me, what happened the very first sin in the Bible, Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit? They hid from God, the Bible says. They had incurred, they'd set up a debt-debtor relationship, but because there was a debt between them now, it created a relational breakdown. And that's what sin does. And that Jesus goes on to explain this. Thank you, Daniel. Good job, Daniel. Well done. Okay, well done. Okay, this is what happens. All right, in Matthew 18, 21 through 35, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. He goes on, verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and all his children and all he had be sold to repay the debt. Okay, Travis, could I borrow you for a second? You look a lot like Jesus. I need you to come stand over here, okay? All right, and Chris, could I borrow you? Come on up here real quick. All right, stand right over here. All right, he looks a lot, this man right here is the king in the story. The king represents God. He is the king. He is God. He is Jesus. Very good, yeah. All right, now, Chris here is the servant. And as the king is settling accounts, in other words, there's a creditor debtor relationship. There's a problem between these two, isn't there? How much does he owe? 10,000 bags of gold. So in other words, there is a huge, huge debt between them. Big, huge debt between them. And the king says, pay me what you owe me. And he says, it's 10,000 bags of gold. Now their relationship is broken because the creditor and the debtor, there is a huge debt in between them. Okay? And he says, you have to sell everything and pay the debt. If this servant fell on his knees before him, be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. In this parable, guys, we are over here, and this is God, and this is the relationship that exists between every human being and God. We have incurred debts. We have incurred debts we cannot pay. This is sin. All of us have sinned. John said, how many of us have done stupid things that we need to ask forgiveness for this week? Every hand went up. This is the state of our relationship right now, this Sunday morning, between us and God. Okay? Now, there are two options when you have a debt like this. One, you can pay it back, right? You can pay it back. If you owe $50,000, you can pay $50,000 back and settle the debt, right? Well, the problem is this is 10,000 bags of gold. This guy's a servant. He doesn't even have one bag of gold. What is he to do? One, he can work as hard as he possibly can. And that's what a lot of religious people try to do. They try to appease God by being good enough, by going on enough mission trips, by being righteous enough, by policing everyone else in the community to be righteous, therefore thinking they can pay back this debt. But that can't happen. The second thing that happens is people hide. Okay? Whenever there's a big debt between the two of us, a lot of times you take this posture. You take this posture towards your creditor. You don't want to see him. You avoid him. You hide. You pretend like he's not there. And that's why a lot of people hide from God, because of this right here. But the debt remains. That's one option. The second option is that the creditor can look over here and cancel the debt. That's the second way to get rid of this. We've already seen that this right here, this guy right here, can't pay this back, and he can't ignore it, so this person over here has to cancel the debt. And what Jesus has done on the cross for all of us is he has removed this once and for all, and he has said the five most beautiful words that you could ever say to someone: you don't owe me anymore. That's what forgiveness is, guys. Forgiveness is saying, you don't owe me anymore. God looks at the servant here, or the king looks at the servant, and he says, you don't owe me anymore. I'm canceling the debt. I'm getting rid of this. This no longer exists. It is paid in full. It's gone, and it's never going to be brought up again. That's what Jesus says. That's what the Bible says Jesus has done because of the cross. Now the table is clean and the two of these can be in fellowship again. That is the gospel right there. God has said, you don't owe me anymore. And that is what God is telling you that this morning, that if you are a believer in Christ, if you have been baptized, you've taken on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't owe him anymore. There is no debt between the two of you. And that is good news. I think God needs a round of applause for that. Amen. Amen. That's it. So Jesus looks at you. When Peter was preaching to the crowds in Acts 2:38 and 39, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call." Psalm 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, God has removed our transgressions from us." Guys, what Jesus did on the cross is he eliminated the debt-debtor relationship that exists. Okay? Remember that. That's what it means to be a Christian. Everyone has sinned. Therefore, everyone is in a creditor-debtor relationship with God. Christians are simply people who God has said, you don't owe me anymore. The bill's settled. We're paid up. Balance is zero. We're square. Not because you paid it, because I forgave it. You don't owe me anymore. When I was 17 years old, God approached me in the car. My life was out of control. It was going in a bad, bad, bad direction. Okay, I was not a believer in Christ. I was not acting like a believer in Christ. I was drinking a lot of alcohol, running with a bad crowd, everything. And on the way home from a winter prom, God approached me in the car. And using the terminology of this parable, he wanted to settle accounts with me. That's what God does when he convicts you of sin. He wants to settle accounts. And he points to the huge debt between the two of you. And in the car, I said, God, I can't pay this. He said, don't worry. If you were a follower of mine, you don't have to. You don't owe me anymore. You're my child. And that's what God is offering to every single one of you right now. Without fault, without reserve, it is open to everyone. God wants to say those five words to you this morning. Okay? If Jesus would have just ended the parable there, it would have made a great, great, great Sunday morning sermon. But he didn't. So, go ahead and sit down, Travis. Thank you very much. Chris, I need you to come over here. See, the problem is that Jesus added something on to the parable. He said, when that servant went out, he found another friend who owed him a few pieces of silver. So, Emily, could I get you to come up here? He grabbed him, or her, and began to choke him. Pay me back what you owe me, the servant said. The fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. In other words, now Chris over here is not in the debtor side. He's in the creditor side. He is in the place of God. He has been sinned against. There is a debt between the two of them. Now, what was the debt between him and the king? 10,000 bags of gold. What is the debt between him and his fellow servant? A few pieces of silver. That's what's between them now. If you notice, it's not nearly as big or expensive as the one he owed, was it? But still, now that he's in the place of God, now that he is the creditor, what does he do? What are his options? Now there exists a debt between the two of them. He has been sinned against, as all of us have. All of us have been sinned against. All of us have had things done to us that are unfair, that are unjust, that are not right. And now, because of that, we are in a creditor-debtor relationship with other people, maybe even in your own family, maybe even in this very room. What are you to do? What are you to do? In our hearts, in these situations, isn't there some part of you that wants to be paid back, that wants to get even? Isn't there a part of you that maybe this person here, they've incurred a debt. Maybe they have insulted you. Maybe they have stabbed you in the back. Maybe they have broken your heart. Maybe they have stolen from you. Maybe they have been verbally abusive to you. Maybe they have just humiliated you or insulted you or whatever. Isn't there some part of you that wants that person simply to experience what you've experienced? Isn't there a part of you that maybe just wants an apology, wants for them to hurt just like you have hurt, for them to be ruined professionally because you were ruined professionally? Isn't there a part of you that wants that? And if you are honest with yourself, you would have to say yes, barring a miraculous work of grace in your life. That's a natural feeling, guys. Let's stop and think, does that work? Does that work? And just like God, when we are in the place of God, when we are on the creditor side of the relationship, we have two options. One, we can make them pay it back, can't we? We can make them pay this. And I don't know what this is in your life. I don't know what this is between you and the person that you're thinking about right now. Maybe you could label it absence. Maybe a father or a mother or somebody has just left your family. And you're holding them in debt, and you're in a creditor-debtor relationship with your parents. Maybe this is labeled abuse. Maybe someone has been physically or sexually or verbally abusive to you in your life, and this is labeled abuse. Maybe this is labeled lie. Someone has lied to you repeatedly, and this is between you now. This is the debt that you have against them. Maybe someone has insulted you publicly, or privately, and has hurt you deeply. Maybe somebody has denied you an opportunity. You were up for a promotion. They stole it out from underneath you. I don't know. They've stolen some. They've taken something from you. Your dignity, your opportunity, whatever. Maybe this is labeled adultery. Maybe someone has broken your heart because they chose another person over you. Maybe this is labeled addiction and all the behavior that goes with it. The lying, the cheating, the theft that goes with an addiction. And someone has broken that with you. Maybe this is simply labeled rejection. You've loved someone that hasn't returned that love. You've liked someone that has thrown that back in your face. You've tried to get in with, be friends with someone that has simply rejected you. Maybe this is labeled rejection. But whatever this is, whatever you would put on this, this is real. And I think we can all agree on that. This is real. And like I said, there may be people in this room that you are holding this against. So the question is, what do you do? Option number one, you can make them pay it back. You can make them hurt. You can sabotage them. You can make them feel what you felt, and you can demand that, okay? For people that choose that option, Jesus has some very, very, very harsh words. In verse 32, he says this, when the servant refused to cancel the debt, he says this, "Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed." If that's not strong enough, Jesus says this, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Matthew 6:15, Jesus says this, "But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." In other words, when you're in the place of God, act as God does. God has forgiven the inexcusable in you and in me, and therefore we should forgive the inexcusable in others, because as you can see, it's very, very tiny compared to what we owe God. So, if making person pay back doesn't work, then what are we supposed to do? We are to do this. We are to look at the people in our lives. You are to look at the person that has sinned against you, the person on the debtor end of the relationship, and say those five words that God has said to you: "You do, you don't owe me anymore." Okay? I want you guys to say that out loud with me. You don't owe me anymore. Say it louder. You don't owe me anymore. In other words, I'm not expecting anything from you. I don't need an apology. I don't need to be paid back. I don't need you to hurt. I don't need anything from you. That doesn't necessarily mean we can be friends. That doesn't necessarily mean we can even be in the same room together. That doesn't mean that we'll pretend like nothing ever happened. All I'm saying is that you don't owe me anything anymore. And guys, that is what forgiveness is. It's canceling the debt. So the only way for Chris to get rid of this right here, I want you to pick it up and throw it. Throw it away. It's canceled. Now there is no debt between them. And that's what has to happen in our lives too. So I want you to think of that person that you cannot forgive. And I just want you to simply look at your state before God. Realize what has been forgiven in you. And then muster up the strength and the courage to forgive as well. All right? Thank you, guys. Thank you guys for being up here. I'm going to ask the ushers to get their little slips of paper ready. Okay? Colossians 3:13 says this, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." Right? You're going to be getting a little sheet of paper that looks like this. Okay? Usher's going to be passing these out. It simply says your name, debtor's name, date of identifiable event, amount of debt discharged, debt description. "By signing this document, I hereby waive my rights as creditor to the debt owed from Section 2 of this form. I no longer require repayment of said debt, and hereby claim that the debt is settled and will require no payment. Form 1099-CA. Cancellation of debt." And I want you guys to take a second when you get this, and I want you to ask, who is it that I need to forgive? And then forgive them. Cancel their debt. This is a statement of cancellation. And while you're thinking about that, this is also why it's important. When I was 8 years old, there's a bully down the street. His name was Scott. Scott was a mean kid. He was 3 years older than me, and when you're 8 years old, 3 years is a big difference. We were outside having a snowball fight, I'll never forget. Outside having a snowball fight, me and my brother and some of my friends. Scott came walking up the street, saw what we were doing, and I don't know why he picked me, but he charged me, grabbed me in a headlock, threw me down into the snow, my face into the snow. I couldn't breathe and everything, and he took snow and started shoving it down the back of my shirt. Everybody just laughed. Here it is, 32 years later, guys. And I can remember that like it was yesterday. I want to ask you a question. How many times in the last 32 years do you think Scott has thought about that incident? Zero. Who's it been bothering? Me. Who is being hurt by your unforgiveness? Is it the person that has sinned against you? Or is it you? Who is really hurting? Who has it affected? Who is staying up late at night worrying about it? Is it the person or is it you? It's you. Forgiveness is, Jesus gives us the gift of forgiveness for ourselves because it's a freeing gift. Because without forgiveness, we would simply walk around weighed down, bitter. And I don't know if that's exactly where we are right now. So guys, forgiveness, someone said, is setting a prisoner free and realizing that person is you. So look at this and realize the person that you're forgiving isn't hurting because of your unforgiveness. You are. And it is your job, to your benefit, to release this debt, to say you don't owe me anymore. Fill it out, please. Because all of us have people that we need to do this. And at the bottom, if you notice, it says keep for your records. That was John's idea. And you think, no, you don't want to keep this for your record. Yeah, you do. Actually, I'm going to let John, because he has such an amazing explanation for it, why that's on there.
How many times have you said you forgave somebody, and then every time that person walked in, you still remember that moment? You still hold it against them. You're still frustrated. You're not happy. And you realize you never really canceled the debt. You never really forgave them. Sometimes it's good to have a little reminder around to tell yourself, you know what, I forgave that debt. I canceled it. And so we want you to keep those forms because we want you to have a reminder of, you know what, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. And for some of you, this may be somebody you love dearly and it's hurting your relationship. And you've got to cancel the debt because if you don't, that relationship is shot. And we just need that little reminder. Maybe it's something you just keep in your Bible. Something you keep in your iPad case or you put up on a refrigerator or something so that you've always got that reminder of, I canceled the debt and it's done. I'm going to tell you point blank, when I first moved here for Catalyst, my finances were garbage because we weren't getting paid and I still had to pay bills. And I had to decide which ones I was going to pay. And I went to a lot of debt. And about 2 years later, I was finally able to pay off pretty much all of it. And I still have every letter from every debt that was forgiven. And I keep them. They're not going anywhere. And I keep them because they're reminders that the debt is gone. And that's great for me as the debtor. But imagine how much greater it is for the person who the debt is owed to know that debt is gone and it doesn't exist anymore. So we're just going to worship. And we're going to sing. And we're going to lift our hearts up to God today. And if you're still filling that out, don't get up. Just fill that out. Take your time. You may be praying over it right now. Pray over it. Take some time and do that. But we're going to worship and we're just going to say, God, you get it all. That means he also gets the debts. So let's give those to him this morning.
A lot of soul searching today. A lot of life change expected after what you've heard today. I want to tell you something. I don't know what you've been through, and I don't know how you've been hurt, how you've been sinned against, but I will tell you this. There is nothing that has been done to you that is worth your eternity in heaven. Nothing. Do not let this person's sin and your unforgiveness of it keep you from receiving the forgiveness of God. It's not worth it. It's not. And God calls us to live as free people, free from sin, but also free from the debts that we feel are owed from us. Cancel the debt, and you will experience the joy of the Lord. I'm telling you, it is the only way to live. When you forgive a debt, it is like a weight being lifted off your shoulders, and you can breathe, and you can finally be joyful because this person doesn't owe you anymore. I implore you to experience the freedom in Christ that comes with canceling the debt. And we live as people who are great forgivers. And I have a little vision of what it would look like if you and I were to be great forgivers. Check this out.
Since we have been forgiven, what should be our corresponding action? I'm glad you asked. We should forgive and extend grace to everybody else. No wonder Matthew says, and when you start praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who's in heaven forgive your transgressions. As a Christian, you've got to forgive. Now that said, and please don't get offended, the new F word in the word church is forgive. I'm going to say it again. The new F word in this church is forgive. Now that said, do me a favor, touch your neighbor and say F you. God, I wished I had. God, I wished I had 25 people that say I forgive you for whatever you said about me. Not just your neighbor. Look down your whole row saying, F y'all too. Go ahead and tell them. You know what, y'all looking at me crazy. Would you do me a favor? Take your phone out. Text all your exes and say, I'm at church. F you. Forgive you for lying on me and talking about me. Pastor, my mama don't like you. Well, F your mama. My family don't like you. F your family too. You know what? Jump on your feet. Snap your fingers. Say, help everybody in here. God, I wish I had 5 people that would jump on your feet and high five 6 people. Say, F you. Go ahead. Tell them. F you. Go ahead. High five somebody else. Say, F you. Yup. F you. Yup. F you. F all y'all. F you. God, I wish I had somebody that would have a little church with me. And thank God that he forgave you for all your sins, and now you can forgive everybody else.
Amen. F you, John.
F you, Dave.
Amen. Woo! I love it. Guys, that's what the church should be. People who are excellent at canceling debts and forgiving. That's exactly what I pray all of us in here are today. Amen.